All right, we're here with Ricky Bias. How's it going, Ricky?
Pretty good. How's it going, man?
So we're going to talk about two topics, right? We're going to talk about some YouTubers, and we're going to talk about music, yes?
Yes.
So specifically, what genre of music?
Hip-hop.
Hip-hop, all right, cool. So let's talk about YouTubers first. What do you have for me here? What are you looking at right here? This is the title of the YouTube video real quick that we're looking at right now. It says, How I Got AirPods for $4.
Yeah, that's
right. What is this all about?
That's clearly like a clickbaity title right there.
Is this like a problem for you? Is it?
It was one of the problems. Like some of the content creators that I like watching, like right now, are these channels, like commentary channels, where basically they'll take like a problem or like somebody who's doing something really, really crazy, and they'll kind of put their own like spin on the story. So they'll give the story, give information about it. They'll do research.
Are they misleading their listeners?
No. They do research, and most of the time, like during their videos, they'll have like little clips of the original source or like DMs or stuff like that. And so
when you say DMs, are you talking about like direct messages?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like DM conversations.
Sure.
So let's say two YouTubers got into a fight, and
so they're just
the
kind
DMs
of posting the DM that they were having.
Yeah. Well, if the DM was like evidence for like an argument or something like that.
So what would be the purpose of posting all this?
So I remember there was a controversy where there was an artist, like a YouTube animator, who was under fire for.
Tell me what do you mean by YouTube animator? I don't know what that
means. So sorry, these people are.
You talk about artists, and then you talk about YouTube animators, and then I'm not sure what does that mean for the listeners right here. Like, what does that mean for them, for the commoner, right? For me, who has no idea. What does that mean to be a YouTube animator, and what does it mean to be an artist on YouTube?
I file artist and animator under the like same equivalent thing, because most of the time their videos consist of like animations, whether it be an animation for a song they like, or a lot of the popular ones now are.
So they're actually doing the actual artwork and the animation for whatever music they like or whatever. So they're actually doing the programming, and they're doing the graphic design, and they're doing all the animation work themselves, and then posting their work.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So they are true animators.
Yeah. Okay. And the most popular genre now is these people called Storytime, where basically... Storytime animators. So they tell stories. They record themselves telling a story, and then they'll animate it. So it's like... like right now, if I was a Storytime animator, I would take, like, for example, I could take this podcast and I could animate you and me talking. And let's say, like, when I would reference something, like a picture would pop up, or just like kind of stuff to make it interesting.
So that means that the Storytime animator is going to take the audio only of this podcast, right? They're going to, of course, obviously, right?
Yeah.
They're going to take the audio from this podcast. Create caricatures or characters, right? That are actually in sync with whatever we're saying, and then they start creating like a visual for the audio. I see. Okay.
And
so now let's go back to this right here. So this person right here, this is Rice Gum.
Yeah,
Rice Gum. That's a very interesting name for a channel here. So for a person, who is this guy?
So he's been under fire a lot. Like he's got a whole bunch of he gets into arguments with other YouTubers a lot and causes a lot of controversy.
Why? What does he do? Just, does he lie to his viewers? What does he do?
Most of the time, he just like starts beef with people. Like he'll just say, "Hey, this person's trash," and then that person will say, "No, I'm not," and then they'll get into like an internet fight where they'll make videos on each other about topics.
Is this kind of an intentional thing to kind of get more viewers and more subscribers?
Most of the time, it is like. But when you see like stuff like this, they don't actually directly say it, but most people can tell like the difference between.
Is that an issue on YouTube?
It is becoming one, yes. A lot of people just starting controversy and doing something just to get views to like make their channel grow.
Because I know that the issue has always been there in terms of, you know, like whether it's a crazy antic or you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, we're talking about like old school with Jackass. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then you kind of move along and you do other things like with, you know, what's his name? Logan Paul. And, so you have those guys. Right. So you got Logan Paul. Oh, there you go. Logan Paul being massively disrespectful in Japan.
This was one of his biggest controversies ever. They got his show canceled. He had a YouTube Red show that got canceled but renewed later on. So that happened.
How many subscribers does he have? Just out of curiosity,
Logan Paul. Let's go back over here.
Yeah. That's not him.
Yeah. That was a compilation. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Does he still have a lot of followers?
Oh yeah. Oh, he's got tons. Him and his brother are like set. They even if
so
they get into controversy.
Is it Jake Paul?
Jake Paul. Yeah. Jake Paul and Logan Paul.
So why do they still have all these followers? I'm just curious. Why do they still have these followers on YouTube, regardless of all the controversy that kind of surrounds them? And why do people still follow, teenagers especially, right? Teenagers and middle school kids, really.
Yeah, it's like you get from like sixth grade to like their demographic is like fifth to like eighth or something like that. Most of the time, you won't find high schoolers who watch these people.
No, right. But then you do have these people, these kids who are exposed to Jake Paul and Logan Paul at a young age, and they kind of enjoy these videos. They like these videos. They subscribe to the videos, and they're watching it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's becomes a problem for maybe the way they act, the way they, treat other people, the way they are, their behavior is altered maybe because they're watching these videos?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because like when your audience is young kids, you really have to be careful because you have an influence over them, like what content that you make. And there was actually a video that was released of there was a little kid after the whole thing in Japan in the disrespectful video that he recorded in the Suicide Forest. That is, if for those who don't know, that was when on his trip to Japan, among other things of just being disrespectful in public, like tossing coins into an ancient shrine and cursing while he did it. The major thing that people talked about was he went into a forest that was known for having where like people go and like hang themselves. Like it was
at the base of Mount Fuji.
Yeah. And he goes in there and he's vlogging and he actually finds like an actual dead body in the forest and records it.
This incident was well recorded.
One was when you see somebody mess up that bad, it starts being covered. Like most of the time when like YouTubers like mess up or something like that, most of the time
this is a big deal for him.
Yeah, no, this was big. They get called out by like smaller people on the channel and then they get like backlash through other YouTubers saying, "Hey, this is wrong. We're on here too." But like, yeah, this hit really big. YouTube didn't want to associate with him for a while.
So then why again? So that's my question. Like, so we know that there are certain things that these brothers, right, and Team 10 and all those guys, right?
Team 10 is all.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah. No, honestly, right? They have a lot of stuff that they do that is very questionable, yes?
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm noticing, I'm kind of scanning the room too, like, in our classroom right now, like, we mentioned Jake Paul and Logan Paul, you have these smirks and smiles and things like that, you know, and so they know as well. I mean, you can see that it's not like something that is isolated and something that's not unknown. Everybody in this classroom, I think, knows about that, right? So then why are they still there? And do you think that has caused problems for behavior issues, you know, now? For middle school kids, for high school kids, and maybe even beyond.
Oh, like definitely. Like there was a video that actually released of there was this little kid and he was wearing one of the Logan Paul's merch.
Yeah.
It's like some sweater that he designs or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he was wearing it and he just like the video starts and he starts describing, "Oh, I'm this big Logan Paul fan, you know. I would be honored if I was that guy," referencing the dead guy in mm-hmm. the Suicide Force. "I would be honored to even be dead and be featured in Logan Paul video." And to have that mental attitude towards somebody, that's not like health. That's not healthy. Yeah. Like mentally, it's just not okay. And it was extremely disrespectful to like say something like that. It completely undermines what he did. There were a whole bunch of a multitude of like racist comments when there were a lot of people, YouTubers who were either like came from Japan or mm-hmm. were YouTubers actually from Japan and still living there, spoke out about like, "Hey, this isn't right," especially they were the biggest ones to speak out of it because it was like their culture. And in the comments, you saw most of the time you saw like positive feedback, but there were always the like that group of like really hardcore Logan Paul fans that just went in saying all this like racist stuff. Like, there was one comment that I still remember was actually in one of the videos. I'm not going to say it I can't pull it up. It's probably been deleted by now.
Yeah.
But it was extremely controversial, and it was just showing how these people, they get this idea of, it's partially because of, like, the money, too. Like, they're in Logan and Jake Paul's videos. Oftentimes, they flash all of, like, their wealth and stuff like that. Yep. And you get these young, impressionable kids saying,
right. Well, I know that like in that. The videos, they all have, like, little, you know, the Lamborghinis this and that. And
especially also, in most of, like, Jake Paul's videos. Sure. He's, like, known for most of the time being the one.
So my question is, do high school students talk about controversial topics like that, or do they just dismiss it?
When it happens sometimes, like, it might come up in a conversation, like, hey, did you see what Logan Paul did? Yeah, that was so messed up.
Let me ask about, like, your group of friends. So when something like, not just, you know, Jake Paul, Logan Paul, I'm talking about anything that's controversial on, you know, on YouTube or Instagram or anything like that, right? When something controversial is kind of, it pops up, do your friends, your group of friends, talk about that and discuss it, or is it not something that you normally do?
Not something that you normally do, and most of the time it depends on the magnitude. Like, there's another, like, controversy that happened where with PewDiePie a while ago.
Sure, is this the subscriber war?
The subscriber war is going on right now. Mm-hmm. But this was earlier, back when he got, like,
sick. I only know these things only because everybody talks about it, and I'm just kind of like, I just kind of tune into the things that are happening around me. That's all I ever do. So it's not like I follow the subscriber war.
The subscriber war is something that's, like, happening right now. And
but
that,
what's the other controversy that you're
talking about? The other controversy was he was extremely under fire for, while on stream, while playing PUBG,
PUBG is like
it's just a game. He was streaming playing one of the shooter games. Right?
Yeah.
And he said something that he should not have, that had extreme,
while he was streaming live.
Yes. Was it a racist comment?
Yes. I'll go look that up later.
Yeah. Yeah. But he
Christian is laughing over there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But he got under fire for it. He lost, like, everything. Like, the news covered it for at least the next, like, almost, like, there were still news outlets, like, posting up on him, like, 3 months, 4 months after
the When did this controversy happen?
I don't remember the actual date. It was
months,
like,
ago.
Yeah. No. This happened a really long time ago.
Okay. Typically, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but typically, if anything were to happen in the media, people are advised to stay low for 6 months. Oh. Half a year is kind of the typical time to stay low and not do anything or say anything, because society forgets within 6 months, which is a strange phenomenon.
It's been more than 6 months. So,
okay.
But yeah, he lost his YouTube show. He lost just about everything, and it's surprising. After what Logan Paul did, there was, like, a period of time where he lost his YouTube Red show also, but ended up getting it back, whilst PewDiePie hasn't gotten back any of the things that he lost. Like, he's still feeling that hit. And only recently, with this new channel growth, that people finally, I don't want to say, like, finally, but, like, people, like, slowly but surely, like, stopped talking about his, like, controversy.
My question is, okay, so how important do people feel, students feel, you know, based on who they are, what they're into, that kind of thing, right? You know, when you talk to, like, older adults, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, I'm 45, right?
Yeah.
I hear things like PewDiePie and things like, I'm going, okay, who cares? Right? I don't care. Right? I hear about, like, you know, I hear about subscriber base, right? I don't care. I hear about the number of people that are watching and viewing something, right? I'm like, I don't care. So, my question is, what is it about these YouTubers that, you know, make students care?
Are you referring to, like, what brings them, like, views, or what makes care about the channel? How you get hardcore fans?
It's kind of multifaceted, right? So, like, you either go to the channel and view it and watch it, mm-hmm. you're subscribed to it, right? Or, you know, you truly care about, like, what's going on in their, in their lives and everything else, right?
Yeah.
So, talk about that. Like, what is it about
first of all
these YouTubers that make students, and not even just YouTubers, right? Even it could be like social media, what do they call influencers?
Yeah.
Right? What is it about them that students are like fascinated about them and make them watch and listen and follow their trends?
I would say the top two things are what they choose to make their like source content. So like by that I mean like do you want to play games? Do you want to be a gaming channel? Do you want to be a vlogger? Do you want to be a storytime animator?
Do you think that people, you know, who are following, they all aspire to be, you know, these animators or like, you know, there's a lot of views on even just fashion. So I'm going to say, hey, do they want to follow because they want to be a fashion superstar, a YouTuber? Do they want to, or is it because of some other interest, or is it just because they want to dress like that? What is it? I mean,
Sometimes they do. Like a lot of the times when you find like in the gaming section, a lot of times in that like section of YouTube, the communities are formed around like whether or not you play the game. Sure. So it might not be you want to be a YouTuber, you just care about the game and you want to see like content. And it's a source of entertainment, basically. Like, so you can imagine, like, you go up there and you see actors on, like, a movie screen or a TV screen. You might not want to be an actor when you grow up, but you like a zombie movie, and you really like that category.
But do you think so I'm going to ask this question. So do you think that sometimes this source of entertainment is so strong and potent that it overtakes all other responsibilities around them? You know, meaning like they rather watch, they rather follow, they rather take a look at that versus doing something that is more, you know, that they are responsible for, that they are obligated to do, you know, study for, that kind of thing.
I feel like it falls under the category of just like a source of entertainment. Like would you choose to watch like TV over doing study or something like that? Like eventually it just becomes like, hey, instead of, you know, watching the new episode that comes out on Saturday night on TV, there's a YouTuber that uploads on a certain day and I'm going to watch it now instead of doing that. So like it just becomes like it depends on the person. So if that person is known for like flaking out to like watch like TV or something like that and they're a fan of YouTube, then they're probably going to do the same thing. But if they're normally good with like responsibilities and balancing out like stuff that they want to do versus stuff that they have to do, then they'll probably pull it off.
Do you ever find yourself caught up in that?
Sometimes. Not a whole lot, especially recently, not a whole lot, but
you have to force yourself sometimes to say, hey, I gotta cut off
yeah.
The viewing or cut off the whatever it may be.
Yeah.
How often do you find yourself doing that?
Like sometimes it depends. Like sometimes like if it's something like I really dread or something like that, I might put it off a little bit more. But you know, it depends. Like most of the time I'm pretty good about it, but like there are just those few times where like you get like a slip up or something.
Sure. Just like anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Ricky, thank you so much. We didn't get to that other topic, but that's okay. Hey, thanks for talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Hello, and today we are doing a film appreciation podcast of the movie The Sixth Sense. Now, in this movie, the basic storyline is that there is a doctor, like a psychiatric doctor, and he had a patient that he couldn't help. And so at the beginning of the movie, the patient comes back and he shoots him. And then throughout the movie, it shifts to the kid Cole. Cole's parents have recently divorced, and Cole has a ability, or as you might want to call it, the sixth sense, to be able to see dead people. And throughout the movie, the doctor is trying to help him overcome all of the problems that this causes, whether it be not being able to fit in, going through his parents' divorce, or just being terrified of seeing dead people. And towards the end, the problem is solved by Cole deciding to, instead of running away from the ghosts, he, like, listens to them. And there's one little girl that he listens to. And he ends up finding out that her mother murdered her. And so he kind of solved that mystery and let her soul, like, rest in peace. And that kind of helps him. And then towards the end of the movie, The doctor, who had previously thought that he was having marriage problems, realizes that Cole was seeing like a dead person the whole time, and it was him. So he finally talks to his wife and then goes off to heaven. Great movie, by the way. Just like, plot was really good. There were like a whole bunch of connections, but we'll get in that stuff later. First of all, we got some discussion questions we can answer here. Earlier on in the movie, we discover that Cole's parents have recently divorced, and he's attached to belongings that he wears from his dad, similar to the stuff in Cole's tent, which have a whole bunch of religious statues. What do you think the motivates him to collect these things? How are these things helpful to deal with the ghosts or wish his classmates? When he physically is holding on to something, help him through a difficult time. I think that he is holding on to the stuff from his dad to, like, remember a time where his dad was in his life and to comfort him when he's not really fitting in. Just to have, like, a piece of his dad. To, like, help him through when all the kids are making fun of him, just to hold on to it as kind of like memorabilia, I guess. And in the tent, all of the religious statues, he's got all of those set up because it's like his little shelter for when he is hiding from the ghosts. And when he sees the ghost, he crawls into the tent, turns off the light, and he just hides. And most of the time when you think of like afterlife, it's normally associated with religion. And so he's got Jesus, you know, having the basically light shine on to what him are demons coming back to hurt him. This next question is about the day in the classroom where he objects to the way that his teacher is looking at him. And it asks, basically, how do you identify people who call others freaks and, like, mistreat people? And most definitely, that's, like, a common thing because most of the time people are scared of what they, like, the unknown, basically. So, just about any time anybody does something different, you can even be made fun of, like, putting a different, like, a weird combination of food together, you know? People who act differently, like, the not normal things that other people like. You like a different type of music, you might get made fun of that. So I think that's a pretty commonality. And then this movie kind of shows, like, the damages that you're doing to someone's psyche when they're constantly being excluded, because humans are, like, most of the time, a social beings, so they would want to hang out and fit in with other people. Does Cole realize from the very beginning that his psychologist is a ghost? And I would think yes, because towards the very beginning, he's very, very standoffish towards the psychologist. And when he confronts his psychologist, he actually says that they don't know that they're dead. And he looks and he's like half crying as he looks at the psychologist. They only see, he's basically giving him hints at like how he's actually dead. What finally helps Cole deal with his encounters with the dead? It's when he finally asks the dead girl that shows up in his tent, like, hey, I'm here to listen to you. Do you have something to show me? And he goes there and he finally listens to the ghost, and it kind of puts him at ease because he feels like, you know, he really helped somebody. And is that different than what might help us deal with our encounters with the living? And I say not really. Like, you just have to, like, in the sense that you have to face your problems and, like, trying to stop running away from them. Like, running away from your problems and trying to pretend that they aren't there only causes more pain, and it doesn't make it go away, it just makes you live in fear. So confronting your problems and finally dealing with it is a good way to get through. When Cole and Dr. Crow are finished with their sessions together, Cole tells his mom that he's ready to communicate with her. What change in Cole has led him finally be able to talk to his mom openly? And I feel like he finally came to terms with it. He wasn't scared of his ability. He felt confident in himself, so he wasn't afraid of losing his mom's love because of telling his mom his secret. He didn't want to put her off, because at that point before, he felt like a freak. He felt like nobody would love him. Now that he's got the confidence, he was able to tell his mom.
Dr. Crow asks Cole, if you could change something, anything, what would it be? What would you change in your own life if you could? I guess I would change like my habits. Like I've got some pretty bad like procrastination habits, as you can see from the time I'm turning this in. I'm like working on changing it in myself because sometimes like you get to the point where you procrastinate and then you get really stressed out, so you crash and then you don't do anything at all. And that's a really bad habit and kind of like a struggle. So getting rid of your own problems would be a good thing to have. In what ways are the techniques of the film used to get the film's message across or make the message plausible and compelling? Well, most of the techniques that the author used, like using the color red whenever a ghost shows up, more detail on that later. How ha Cole not having a relatable problem, but basically like a build of a relatable problem where people are trying to fit in, having problems, whether it be in the family like Cole was having, parents that divorced. It's kind of like the structure can be relatable, not so much the seeing ghosts part, obviously. And how, like, just the shots that were done, like the ghosts were very, very compelling and scary. So you felt for Cole when he was scared. So I think all of those, like, kind of put it in perspective and easily, like, a relatable, like, compelling story. Overall, I thought this was an amazing film. I really, really enjoyed it. I loved how, like, the color, getting back to, like, the color red. A ghost shows up whenever the color red. Dr. Crow, the red doorknob on the door, can't open it. The red balloon in the attic, the red tent. That was like a big thing. Like whenever all the ghosts shows up and he's got the red tent on. I just think overall the movie was really, really good.